And that was Benjamin Dube with Jehovah, We Praise You. Don't we praise Jehovah, Father?
All time.
It brings us to exactly 3 minutes after the hour 5. And we're joined in studio by Father Joseph Wilson. And we are unpacking demons, demonic possession, demonic oppression. We're opening our lines right now. If you've got any comments, reactions, questions, the number to dial is 011-452-7115. The number to dial is 011-452-7115.
Call our studio now on 011-452-7115.
Alternatively, you can SMS me on 41809. Your comments, responses, reactions, and if you want to weigh in, have you survived a demonic possession? Have you witnessed it? Have you been released from demonic possession and oppression? And share with us your life after deliverance. Share with us your life before you were delivered. We want to know. And what really made you break those chains? The number to dial is 011-452-7115. Alternatively, SMS me on 41809. And we're taking your questions, your comments, and your reactions. Father Joseph, so here we are talking about how sometimes the places that we get to, we do not get those services that we need. So in those cases, what should we do?
Yeah. I think we... that's where Scripture says, "My people perish for want of knowledge." Mm. It really should be a ministry that is not a Cinderella, but well known, mm-hmm. and that it is available in each diocese. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the Lord has provided that there are people and lay people mm-hmm. very, very much involved in this ministry and helping people. They are in Johannesburg, they are in Pretoria, mm. they are in several other dioceses, mm-hmm. and there are priests, thankfully, mm-hmm. who are giving their life for this. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. They are
so,
there.
So yeah. there is hope.
Absolutely. And I can see it as a movement of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, in my own case, I was delivered even before I knew that I was delivered. Mm-hmm. And about middle of last year, I heard a 16-year-old girl saying in the church, "Esh, I think I need a deliverance."
Yes.
And, you know, well, I got delivered in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And then 17 years later, there's this 16-year-old girl who knows about deliverance. Mm. So there is movement and there is progress.
Oh, during the break time, you were telling me about how people that have been delivered from Satanism, we have shared their story, how sometimes they target churches, they target priests. Share a little bit with our listeners about that.
Yeah. Listening to some testimonies, international testimonies, people who have been in Satanism, for example, for 30 years and then have finally come out of it and become Christian. Mm-hmm. They have revealed what they did behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And one of them, who was a very, very high-profile Satanist, he said they target two churches in above all else. Mm-hmm. And they are the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church.
Hmm. Why?
And exactly. Why is that? And the answer given was, people say, well, what about the evangelical churches that are forever talking about Satan and all of that? Mm-hmm. And the answer given was, Satan attacks the churches that hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And how would we hurt Satan? Well, we hurt him by raising people from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you raise people from the dead? Well, it's done every day in the Catholic Church when mortal sin is broken in confession. Mm. Confession is, that's one of the reasons why Satan has got people not to confess. Mm-hmm. The other is Our Lady, mm-hmm. Like he's convinced churches that she's, you know, almost a despicable person.
Yeah.
And yet she does so much damage to the evil one because she crushes his head and he bruises her heel.
So this Saturnist was actually saying he or she was given a mission, and his mission and ministry was to destroy the church.
That's correct. And the way he did it was very, very cunning, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
He came into this church and befriended it. He made it known, look, I'm living around here. I'm joining the church.
I'm new in town.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did something very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
There was a leader in the church, a lay leader. He started with the parish council. And
oh, no. Do they even went through the structures? Oh, my God.
He went to not the chairperson, but he went to the deputy chairperson and said, do you know that he is talking? Sorry, the other way around. He went to the chairperson and said, are you aware that the deputy is spreading gossip and lies about you?
No.
This was utterly and totally false. Then he went to other members of the parish council spreading the same lie.
Mm.
Now, the seed of lying was sown.
And there was distrust?
That's right.
And people were hitting each other, there were conflicts?
Exactly right. And then there's resignation. Then there's division. We follow the chairperson. We follow the deputy chairperson.
The church is split into two.
Exactly, right. And you have division there. And then you have bad feeling. Members not alone resign from the positions. They leave the church and go elsewhere.
Oh, Lord.
And he confessed that I think he split over 130 churches.
No. So yeah. This Satanist job was just to break
churches. Correct. And the other thing is when a priest is preaching and these people come in, you will find that he's not able to preach, or he stumbles, or he's not being coherent.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other thing is that people don't actually... the fall asleep around the Satanist. He just casts a kind of a spiritual ozone layer around them. So they're not hearing, they're not worshipping. They come out of that church and they say, that place is dead.
It's a boring church.
That's right.
So which means this bad spirit, the spirit of Satan, he follows us even right into our sacred spaces.
Well, that's scriptural, isn't it? Because he went right into the face of Jesus. He went. If you read one of the temptations, right into the pinnacle of the temple, and he told Jesus to jump off.
Mm.
So he's not afraid to come into the church. And by the way, an ex-Satanist who was speaking to me, he told me, how is it possible for a Satanist to come into a place of worship?
Mm-hmm.
And he says the reason is because Satan gives that person what is called the black flame.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fireman going into a fire, but he's completely protected from the fire damaging him because he's got all the gear.
Mm.
In the same way, a Satanist can go into the house of prayer and not be damaged by the fire of the prayer because he's protected by this black flame.
Yo.
And therefore, he can sit throughout a whole service of worship in the name of Jesus.
And go Hallelujah. Through adoration.
Exactly. But his purpose is to put out the fire of God's love in that church. And bring in division, bring in hatred, close it down, in other words.
So how can we deal with those kind of things in our communities, Father? Especially in our parishes, you see the divisions that are in our sodalities, the divisions that are in our parishes between this group, between that group, between this particular interest group. How, and sometimes we forget to think the conflicts that we're having in our parish, the conflicts that we're either having in our diocese, or the conflict that we're even having with our priests or deacons are actually because we are possessed, or because we've been attacked spiritually here.
Yeah, that's mentioned by Paul in 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 2 and 3. He speaks about, I am for Paul, I am for Apollos,
yes.
And all of this. Now, that's division. And this is very, very interesting, that at the Greek word for tearing apart or dividing or pulling apart is diabolein, which is the Greek word for demon. So the pulling apart, where there's a pulling apart of the community, then you have a diabolical entrance.
But how do we diabolic-proof ourselves, Father?
Well, that's where we are called to love one another, forgive one another, and to speak the truth in love. Yes.
In the face of all that.
It's in
where you are really stabbing me in the back, I should love you.
That's right. In Ephesians 4, it says, it gives two principles that we should speak the truth, but speak it with love. We should protect love in our parish, because once you get division in there, you're on the way to weakening the church. And you know what happens, especially I've heard this very, very often from our African Christians, where they say, you know, I'm not going to church there because they're just fighting the whole time.
Indeed, indeed.
And then that's how the parish is broken. So that's why Jesus said in the dialogue at the Last Supper. He said, Father, that they may be one. And he keeps repeating it three or four times, that they may be one. And then the bad spirit works in the opposite way, that they may be divided and pulling apart and hating one another. And that weakens the church and it turns people off.
It's 15 minutes after the hour 5. Do not touch that dial and do not weaken your church. Do you want some peanut butter sandwiches, Father? Come on, Padre. Is this the part?
Make my hair grow.
All right, let's hear more of that peanut butter sandwiches. There we are with our peanut butter sandwiches. I saw you pack up, Father. What was your thought?
It's going from one extreme to the other. Our topic to that, yeah.
Father,
good choice.
Yeah. We had to make it a bit lighter. Father Joseph, now, before we wrap, I want us to wrap up the show, and how can somebody who's been oppressed or somebody who's got a satanic or demonic oppression confess? Let's go through that.
The healing of the person comes through the church, through the sacrament, primarily through the sacraments of the church. And the sacraments are, of course, the ministry of Jesus on the person's soul. What I would suggest is that the person makes a thorough inventory of his decisions, his choices that he's made that has taken him off the path of his walk with Christ, and where he chose to follow Satan, to confess that. And we have found that if a person makes a thorough and a good confession, it's actually most of the healing.
Okay.
It's most of, because Jesus does the rest. Jesus breaks the bonds. Jesus breaks the power of Satan. So the more honest the confession is, the freer the person will be. So I can't overestimate the power and the need for a very thorough and good confession, sacramental confession, not the end of the bed confession. Yeah.
The end of the bed confession. It takes us to exactly 23 minutes after the hour 5. If you're stuck in traffic, take it easy and please buckle up.